Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well here today. And how about you?
I'm doing great on this fabulous moon day. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the full moon on April 22nd, 2016, which is also Earth Day. We'll explain that this full moon is also the full moon phase of the solar eclipse of October 23rd, 2014 at 0 Scorpio 25. Included in our discussion will be the sun opposing the eclipse point on April 19th, 2016. Listen in to learn how to use these cosmic cycles and events to assist you in shaping your reality. See why Earth Day is the perfect opportunity to ground any aspirations and obligations. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and become powered by prana. So, Swami, first I wanted to do is just give our listeners just a little tidbit of Earth Day and when it was founded. And this is coming right off of the Earth Day website. And so on the front page, they have on there, in 1970, the year of our first Earth Day, the movement gave voice to an emerging consciousness, channeling human energy toward environmental issues. 46 years later, we continue to lead with groundbreaking ideas and by the power of our example. And so it begins today, right here, right now. Earth Day is more than just a single day, April 22nd, 2016. It's bigger than attending a rally and taking a stand. And then I love this next paragraph they have. This Earth Day and beyond, let's make big stuff happen. Let's plant 7.8 billion trees for the Earth. Let's divest from fossil fuels and make cities 100% renewable. Let's take the momentum from the Paris Climate Summit and build on it. So what I think is really interesting is in the first paragraph where it says, this movement gave voice to an emerging consciousness, channeling human energy toward environmental issues. So it really kind of puts us in this position of responsibility and hopefully making this global change. You know, we talk about the 100 monkey, you know, theory, and maybe we can all move towards that. But what does all of this have to do with the full moon that's coming up?
Well, I think the full moon is definitely an amplifier. So it would increase kind of the collective conscious awareness of maybe the importance of Earth Day. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, you know, we're like a parasite and the Earth is the host. And if we kill the host, then what happens to us? You know, so it is really, you want to have a symbiotic relationship with the planet. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can preserve our resources, then of course the longer we have on the planet. But if we continue to destroy our resources, eventually we're going to run out of what we call in Kriya Yoga essential needs.
Yeah, that is so true. I like your analogy. And I remember reading in a newsletter that I used to get from the PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and I remember reading in there that they said one of the benefits of being of a vegan diet is the fact that you actually are saving the planet because, you know, to feed all the cattle and things like that, they're just destroying all the rainforest and things like that. So to me, it was kind of like, oh boy, you know, I am doing good. You know, not only is the vegan diet good for me, but I'm also helping the earth.
Yeah, that part I'm not 100% sure about. I mean, I think about the Native Americans and you know, how they coexisted with, say, for example, the buffalo and the deer and all of the different types of animals, that they didn't abuse their resources, that they understood the importance that if they didn't have that, then they themselves couldn't survive. And so there was this kind of sense of respect for what was out there, and of course they used everything.
Mm-hmm. And I also think they had this, I hate to use this phrase, this cliche, but they had this attitude of gratitude. Like, they gave thanks for everything that walked into their path, whether it was a deer, a buffalo, or whatever it was, and they looked at that like that was a gift from, you know, from the universe.
Yeah, it was great spirit, that they recognized that the essential great spirit was in everything, mm-hmm. which is something that really comes with expanded sense of self. And I think that's one of the things we have talked about in other shows, that we're so insulated from our natural environment that I think when you are living that close to your natural environment, when you live in a teepee and you don't have all of the amenities that we have today that kind of shield us from the cold and the wind and all of the other things that could be considered hostile mm-hmm. from the environment, that you have a different attitude about it. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you understand just how important the planet is to your survival. And I don't think when you're insulated from it that you have that degree of sensitivity or awareness mm-hmm. of the planet.
I find that very curious that you use that word insulating, because isn't that kind of like what we do, is that we insulate ourselves not just from our environment. Of course, that brings it right up on screen because we have Earth Day coming up. But it seems like we insulate ourselves from almost everything. You know, like we have our own lives, we go to work, and we kind of insulate ourselves even from our coworkers, or we insulate ourselves from our neighbors, and it's not like there's not this sense of community and that saying where it takes a village, you know, like the Native Americans, as you were saying, they all work together, you know, for survival, and everybody here, it seems like in our time right now, is that we're all just trying to cope and get by, but we're not all working together for each other's own survival.
Yeah, the term I like to use is that we're self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is that we're just not growing psychologically and spiritually, that our identity is all bound up in our physical bodies. And you're consumed by I, me, mine. And the pain, pleasure, control dramas of your physical body. And one of the things that comes with a metaphysical or mystical system that is designed to work, like Kriya Yoga, you start to expand your identity beyond the limits of just seeing yourself as separate, which changes how you think about everything. It changes your perception of the world. And it's a very different thing when you see things in terms of the great spirit, that the same soul that's animating me is animating you. And what I'm putting out is what I'm getting back. And I like myself. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole different base of operation when the identity does start to transcend the limits of the body. But because of our Western socialization and being insulated from our natural environment and also removed from the rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices that would initiate positive growth of consciousness, we're dealing with a lot of the ramifications which you mentioned were just self-absorbed.
And I guess we have to come to this realization that we are self-absorbed, and we have to come and realize that that's what we are in order for us to even start to do any changes.
Right. And so I think some of the things just that we mentioned in the opening of the show, that these transits that are coming up, that this eclipse that happened on November 23rd, 2014, that these solar eclipses are on a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle, which, whether we realize it or not, is the gestation period for positive growth of consciousness, that when matter and mind come together with this more reliable source of sustenance, this invisible, intangible resource, that it initiates this progressive cycle of consciousness. And so each one of these particular solar eclipses will have a theme. And a lot of it requires, you know, one of the things we talk about is keeping a journal, that to be able to look at events and circumstances and situations, and then also to see how am I internalizing that, mm-hmm. and am I in a position of strength where I'm shaping my reality, or am I being reactive and controlled by these circumstances and situations? Because it's basically going to come down to, in human development, that we're complex beings. Mm-hmm. There's something within us that's of a animal nature. There's something that's within us that's of a human nature. And then there is something that's within us of a divine nature. And the interplay between these really plays out basically as we have needs, we have wants, and we have a collective purpose. And so trying to figure out who am I, sometimes for a lot of us, is a big part of the development. Because most of us today, we don't get out of infantile defense mechanisms. We are secretly seeking approval in decision making. So we're not really becoming what's right for me as an individual. And we don't have the leadership that is giving us the tools that are required to connect to this more reliable resource that really empowers us to become individuals.
You know, in the beginning of that paragraph that I read that was on the Earth Day website, where it says the movement gave voice to an emerging consciousness, I believe, and I've read this before, is that the Earth itself has a consciousness, that it is a sentient being. So that in itself, you would think if we all have this understanding that, you know, we're at certain levels of consciousness, and, you know, the microcosm and the macrocosm of everything, and if the Earth has a consciousness, then we need to, not to say merge the two, but have to have an understanding that if the Earth has its own consciousness and a sentient being, then it truly is our responsibility to try to tap into that and do what we can, like you say, to, you know, to help the host provide for us.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And the whole thing here is the integration, again, between physical, mental, and spiritual aspects of reality. Because Earth Day really is about acknowledging the tangible and the visible aspects of reality. And when you have something that is tangible and visible, then along with it comes something that is invisible but tangible, a complementary, unmanifested other part. And then, of course, you know, just like we have mentioned, there's the absolute. There is the part of reality where things are unchanging. this indivisible unified field where everything is happening at once. And to be able to tune into these different levels of consciousness and these different degrees of awareness really requires a metaphysical or a mystical system. That, like one of the things we say, none of this here is magic, but it is all physics.
All right, well, I think we're going to pause right at this moment to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, what I have here in my notes is I went to the website, www.ipdtransform.com, and I thought what I would do is I would include maybe some questions about your CPS that you have listed on there, which is your celestial positioning system. Kind of like a daily advice for us to keep in mind when we're doing and trying to plan out our day. And let me see. So for Friday the 22nd, we write down that it is Earth Day, the full moon at 1 a.m., 25 minutes, Venus conjunct Uranus, pray on prana, moon opposes the sun, trines Neptune, sextiles Jupiter. And then we have, for our advice for the day, delivery day, good time to check and see if your self-expression is upholding your aspirations. And then you did make a note, the key note, about this full moon phase of the solar eclipse on October 23rd, 2014. Check your journal because the full moon will put the theme of this eclipse into full visibility, which you just talked about a little while ago. But you did write down delivery day, good time to check and see if your self-expression is upholding your aspirations. So anybody who's kind of new to that kind of advice, how would you explain to them what should they be looking for on Friday? What should we do?
Well, again, it's a balance between your wants, your unique talent, and your collective purpose. Because we all have a unique talent. We all have one thing that we do better than anybody else. And so that becomes part of your self-expression. But then also we have a collective purpose. And your aspirations really have to transcend personal interest and start to attune themselves or align with this greater collective responsibility.
I think that's the part that gives people the most challenge. You know, when we talk about unique talent, I think we hear a lot about, well, I don't know what my unique talent is. You know, they don't understand that, like you say, it's something that you do better than anybody else. And I think people, when they think about unique talent, they think about that they're born with a gift for something. Well, you're gifted in music, or you can pick up the piano at age 2 and start playing or whatever. They don't understand that it could just even be something more simple about maybe your ability to look at situations and problem solve or something like that.
Sure. And then one of the things is just like I said, reading the signs of events and circumstances as things are unfolding, like what is it that you have kind of like a proclivity towards? What is it that you like to do? What is it that feels good when you're doing it? And then starting to maybe plot some of this stuff. One of the things that we do is we use dates, and for a particular eclipse that happens, say for example on 10/23/14, the new moon phase was on 10/23/14. I mean, yeah, that's when the seed is in the ground. And then the first quarter phase was on July 24th, 2015. And now the full moon phase is going to be on April 22nd, 2016. And then the third quarter phase will be January 19th, 2017. So it kind of gives you quite a bit of time. But also, if you keep a journal, if you have that sense of awareness of what's going on around you, it can start to give you some clues as to what's going on within you. And so you check your journal, you look at the events, and start to see if it can help you shape a theme for this particular event. Because the theme lends knowing to a random event, which helps you understand meaning and purpose to life.
So if we look back at those time periods, then we should be able to see some type of a common denominator, and then that can help us figure out, well, what's the theme of this particular 2-year, 2-month, 20-day cycle? I think that's what you're saying. And then this helps us to shape our reality, which is what we said in the beginning of the program in our summary, to understand these cosmic cycles to help shape our reality. So, and this really kind of puts us in the driver's seat, and it's not like, you know, going through life saying, you know, life is happening to me. It's more like, you know, I'm making life happen for me.
Yeah, the whole thing of making that transition of going from the victim to the creator, where you are starting to implement more conscious participation, starting to use your mental faculties, starting to use imagery in your mind to start to shape events, circumstances, and situations. That's a really powerful tool to employ, and something that we really kind of, we teach people how to do that with our Kriya Yoga practice, that not only do you separate from the limitations of fear and duality and realign yourself with a resource that's more reliable, but also this thing of expanding your mind, transcending the limits of your body, becomes the ultimate coping skill.
So we have to want to do that. Like you said, you know, we're driven by what we desire, what motivates us. So, you know, you said that either what we desire is puts us in like an animal nature, or and I think that's kind of like where we, I hate to say it, but we're kind of like where we are maybe collectively, and having to raise this consciousness, you know, of the world, like for example, like with this whole Earth Day, by all of us coming together, then it kind of does raise our level of awareness in the world, and then our level of consciousness, meaning that we're so much more than what we need to have, you know, our desires.
Well, I think to clarify what you're saying is, you have to recognize that Earth Day is we're celebrating the visible and the tangible. Now, what you don't want to do is become attached to the Earth. The Earth falls under the realms of particles, and particles will actually produce a low animal nature. Then, of course, you know, the next octave of reality is underlying matter is energy. So the realms of waves. But if you attune yourself to the mental world of imagery, then of course it's also dualistic, and it will produce a equally low human nature. So it's not really until the individual desires the void or the nothing do they now initiate this progressive cycle that will produce a divine nature. And so it's the divine nature that actually produces all of the altruistic benefits that we're really trying to achieve, but the whole key is not to fall in love with the earth.
So we can go ahead and plant our trees, but we have to understand that not to have that kind of a particular attachment to it. That makes perfect sense when you put it that way. I did have a question for you on the CPS for tomorrow, for Tuesday. You have a keynote on here, and it says, the sun opposes a solar eclipse from October 23rd, 14. Check your journal for any insights or events or situation to help you understand the theme of this eclipse for you. So I just think it's interesting that we have two keynotes in 1 week. Is that unusual to have that?
No, it happens because we use transits of the Sun and Mars to these eclipse points. We use what we call the hard aspects, which would be the conjunction, the square, or the separating square, the opposition, the applying square, and then again the conjunction. They're kind of trigger points, and it's helpful, I think, when you are trying to plot the theme of a particular solar eclipse, because even if you are growing psychologically and spiritually, that we continue to evolve, and so the theme is equally as important as if you haven't started yet.
I see. Okay, that makes perfect sense. So I do encourage all our listeners out there to, you know, go to the website and look at the CPS, and maybe that can help you as well in your daily life. But it is about that time. We do have to start closing down our program. So I'd like you to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once there, you can post comments about this show or any ideas for shows you may want us to consider. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We will talk about nocebo, which means I shall harm, and placebo, I shall please. It's going to be a very interesting show. You can also email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you would like Swami to answer. So, Swami, any final thoughts or comments about our show today or next week?
I would like to wish everybody a happy Earth Day. And with that, wish everybody a good day today. And
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.